Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
We often talk about the struggles women go through when they become a new mum, and rightly so. They undergo huge physical and mental transformations. And more often than not, when we chat to Professor Shane Higgins here on Lunchtime Live during Making Babies every Wednesday afternoon, we get emails after the show from dads, new dads, soon to be new dads, asking us to chat about the transformation that they too face. And it's something we haven't talked about before, so we said we'd do just that today. Dave is with me on the line. Dave, what's your experience of becoming a new parent?
How are you? I'm speaking from two places, really. I'm speaking from the founder of From Lads to Dads, and I'm speaking from myself as a parent. Like, that's one of the reasons I set up From Lads to Dads in the first place, was because I did struggle quite a lot with becoming a parent. You know, I really struggled with the transition. I struggled with how to know whether I was being a good parent. I struggled a lot with anxiety and sort of the worrying about, you know, am I doing this right? Am I responsible now for another human being? It's a huge responsibility. And me at the time in my life, I wasn't great at talking or sharing or opening up about how I was feeling. So like a lot of men, what I did was I buried it and I just stuffed it down, and I struggled on. And like, it really impacted my journey at the start as a father of just, was I doing okay? Was I doing enough? You know, and I had nowhere really to go and no one to talk to because I didn't know how.
Did you ever mention it to your partner?
No, I didn't at all.
And I can understand that. Like, you know, any of my male friends, Dave, that might privately have a conversation with you, you know, afterwards, after maybe the baby's born or a couple of months settling into this, I'd say that, like, I get the sense that there's a little bit of reluctance to talk to, whether it's their wife, girlfriend, partner, you know, whatever the case is, the mum of the baby. Because maybe they feel, because she's gone through so much, particularly physically, that they feel, you know, that they nearly can't speak out and share how they feel.
I definitely think that's part of it. Like, there's definitely an element of that. And other dads I work with and speak to, that's one of the things they say over and over, is that they're kind of worried about mom and keeping an eye on mom, and they're actually unaware in a lot of cases that they can suffer from postnatal depression, that they can suffer from birth trauma, that these things impact men as well, and all the research and stats backs that up. And there is an element of that 100% that I don't want to talk because it's not happening to me, and therefore I shouldn't be talking about it to an extent, and it's buried. And like, therapeutically, like, I've started and we set up a therapeutic service, and part of that reason is because of what I hear from dads on a regular basis and how much they're actually struggling. And there's nowhere really for them to go and to normalise these conversations and to talk about it, you know, because you talk about the joy of being a parent and how amazing it is, and it is, but it's also really difficult, and there's a lot of struggles in that too as part of it.
Stay with me, Dave, for a few moments, because I just want to get a sense of how prevalent this is. We've Aidan with us on the line today. Aidan, I believe you are about to become a dad. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I'm good. I feel excited and nervous. My wife is 23 weeks pregnant now, and I suppose it's one of those things that, even though it was a conversation we had after getting married last year that we were going to try for kids, and thankfully we have succeeded and we're having a perfectly healthy baby boy, and it definitely doesn't go without its uncertainties and fears
you have about everything that's to come in the future, Aidan.
I suppose I speak very prevalent and very open about mental health online. I do a boat across Instagram and TikTok. My handle is Running with Aidan. It's something that I believe everyone looks at life through a certain lens, or how we frame our lives. And I suppose when I found out my wife was pregnant, one of my first thoughts was, please don't let this baby die. And I am vocal enough to say it because I speak about this very openly already. But if you told someone that, they might think that is an absurd thing to hear someone say. But you see, my brother passed away when he was 21 years old, 11 years ago.
Okay.
When he was 25, I was 21. That was 11 years ago. And I suppose I remember seeing, let alone what happened to us as a family, but my dad and how he took it. And to see such hurt in a man, that became this thing that was instilled in me, that if that ever happened to me, what would I do? And it's only when becoming a parent and understanding this idea of, well, that you're going to become one, that fear bubbled up in me and I didn't think it would.
Yeah.
And I understand that a lot of men will have uncertainties. And when I speak about becoming a dad online and the mental health struggles that might come with, it's not, like I said, it's not to take away from the women, because
no,
obviously
of course
women,
not. Yeah.
We would never go through what women have to go through. But there is a level of fear in men, and no matter how much you plan things, I think that uncertainty is always going to be there. And it's important for lads to speak to each other, even as friends, just to get it out there. Like, cause I know, like, I'm very, I suppose, fortunate I've done the work that I am vocal, and I speak about it too. Even like people in the barber shop that I'm a co-owner of, I speak in person about it, I speak online, because I'm a firm believer that, like, with all forms of mental health and just speaking out, it's about breaking any form of stigma that we can speak. And I've come across people online who have spoken about the men's side of it, and they have been met with backlash.
I
can
imagine.
Being
I can imagine.
Being like, the man doesn't know, the man, and we will never know. Like, we are not female. We will never understand that. And it's incredibly hard to see your wife go through it. But it's our side as well, you know, and it's important.
Absolutely.
That we speak,
I mean,
as men.
You're part of the, it's your shared experience, and Dave as well, and you've every right to speak out and tell and talk about how you feel in it. Just on that, Aidan, and like when you talk about going through the pregnancy, and I'm sure going to appointments and different things with your wife in the lead up to this, do any of the medical experts, is there ever anyone, you know, that chats to you or has conversations with you or maybe points you in a direction as to, you know, if you are struggling or you're looking for help or you want information, here's where you go? Is that part of the chat at all?
No, you know, our midwife was great in Kilkenny Hospital. She was great, but like, she spoke to my wife and asked her about, you know, any problems she's going through, and then I just kind of mentioned, look, like, I've done the work on myself, and like, I try to be best there for her, but like, there is never any mention of a resource for the men.
No mention.
And I think it is something that should be looked into. And I know speaking about this, people are going to think they have their opinion, think he doesn't have a clue, he doesn't know about, you know, and that's the narrative. I think is important to break that, like, it should be taken care of both mom and
absolutely.
Dad, because dad has to be a solid foundation as well to help out, you know, because, you know,
it's going to be busy period. Jason's with us too on the line, and Aidan, thank you for sharing that with us. What's your experience, Jason?
Hi, Andrea.
How are you?
Good. I suppose I was kind of forced into a sort of a single parent role after, I think it was 3 months before my wife gave birth to our twin boys. I had a cardiac arrest in the garden, which laid me low, basically. So basically, I had to semi-retire from my company, and I got my wife, fortunately, trained up in time to take over the reins of that. I was just left in a situation where I had two little baby boys, which had to be, you know, looked after day in, day out with bottles, et cetera. But I felt it extremely rewarding, and I thought I was very fortunate. You know, I think after something like a life-changing event like that, you also realize the importance of every day and the simple things in life and the privilege it is to raise children. I mean, I take my hat off to all the women around in the country and globally for doing such an incredible job, because, you know, it's that's for women. For myself as a man, I didn't find it emasculating. I didn't find it difficult. I loved it. I more or less made every breakfast, every lunch. I fed the children. I still do it today. They're 7 years old. And my wife runs the business in the background and juggles everything else. So I mean, I do find that, you know, raising children is an immense privilege, and every day you have them is a joy. We were fortunate during COVID to be living in an area where we had access to a national park and mountains, etc. So I mean, my kids' first days on earth were just running around forests and nice parks, etc. And the isolation, I thought, was actually fantastic.
to be honest. I know. Well, it was kind of forced time with family that, you know, you mightn't otherwise, just we don't otherwise get.
Yeah, I mean, it's as I said to you, it's an absolute privilege to raise children. I miss it now in the sense that they're in school, and I actually miss the time I spent with them in the mornings and the afternoons. And I feel, oh my God, they say you've only have your kids for 6 years. That's what they reckon. And after that, they let in the world. And then at the age of seven, they become reasonable and they start to think of other things and outside of themselves. So really, you have that little six years to try and influence your child as best you can and to form their personality. And I think if you're fortunate to do it as a man, I think it's an incredibly important role. And you should be absolutely privileged to be able to do it.
John is with us too. John, I believe you're a dad of three. You had a very different experience, did you, with your first than with your other two children?
Yeah, Andrea, how you doing?
Good.
Your researcher rang me earlier on to get my thoughts on
what,
it.
And what happened?
Well, with my first child, in terms of now, from my now wife's point of view, we weren't married at the time. My wife was more or less the focal point, which is understandable, but to the complete and utter exclusion of myself. And I say that from the point of view of the medical profession as such. Anytime going in to get anything done for my wife in terms of scans, and even on the day that my son was born, it was him. I wasn't anything but him. Like you weren't referred to by your name or anything like that. Is, do you want him here? Should he be here? And I had to fight from the point of view of a dad to be allowed in while my son was born. And then from the religious side of it then as well, I was excluded. Well, my wife more or less was as well, because we weren't married. But
What year are we talking about? Or what a year?
It would have been, I'd say, early to mid-90s.
Okay.
But then I compare that to the difference of when my youngest child was born. And I was literally everything. You could nearly deliver the child for my wife if I wanted to be there. And you were encouraged to be involved in everything.
So the whole mindset within the medical profession, it all changed, yeah.
You know, like outside the family, like in terms of my wife and my wife's family and stuff, it was an inclusive environment from the point of view of, like, as a dad, a new dad at the time, my wife now would have had a lot of experience from the point of view of bringing up her own brothers and sisters, looking after them, and that. In that you would be involved from the point of view, if you made a mistake, my wife would gladly tell me that's not the way to do it, you know, and she would be very assertive and very strong about that. And then literally coming through all that process then to learn from it and move on. So, like, from that point of view, it was great family-wise.
Yeah.
But outside of the family, it was completely different.
That's got to be hard, and that's got to be sad as well, John. And look, I know it was a very different Ireland at the time. At least things changed, but it doesn't in any way alter the experience that you had between your first and your third child as well. I just want to bring Karen Beckett in for a moment. Karen's a psychologist. We don't seem to talk about the dad struggles, do we, Karen? Not half enough.
No, absolutely. And I think COVID, and, you know, myself and David worked together a little bit through COVID, trying to highlight the rights of dad. It was very evident at COVID that wherever we'd gone from the 90s to seeing dad as important, COVID brought us back right to the 80s, where, you know, fathers were completely excluded from any sort of, I suppose, empowerment when it came to, you know, being allowed in to see their kids waiting outside the rotunda, you know, for the call to say, right, you can come in. It's hugely important that they're involved, and it's hugely important that, you know, there's not a, if I talk about it as a dad, I'm not diminishing a woman's experience. You know, this is a life-changing event and something, you know, this is something that shapes who you are as a person, regardless of your gender. And I think as professionals, we need to consider that, you know, in antenatal care, women are asked lots of questions around their mental health. Men aren't asked those types of questions. You know, as your listener has said, those supports aren't available, and that's why Dave's service is amazing, that you have a space where you can say, you know what, I actually don't know what I'm going to do when I have this child or when this child is in front of me. How do I be part of their lives? Because it's so, even from day one, mum is so involved physically, you know, whether they're breastfeeding, and, you know, they're kind of hands-on. And sometimes they can leave dad saying, God, what do I actually do with this child? How do I, if I'm not really caring for their physical needs, how do I support them? And that's just about that skin to skin, just, you know, having that experience with your child, you know, reading to them, even, you know, antenatally before baby is born, and that sort of stuff.
And maybe just, Dave, on a final point on this, you know, if you were able to chat to any of those in, you know, the kind of the high powered positions in the maternity hospitals, and to say to them, look, this is actually something that might really help dads or new or soon to be dads like Aidan, who was with us a few moments ago. What one thing would be beneficial for new fathers to be? Have I got Dave? Is Dave with us? Sorry, go on ahead, Dave.
Sorry, I do chat to them, and I have chatted to them on many times. And the reality is, if I could give you just one, there needs to be a space for dads to learn and develop about fatherhood. There needs to be a separate space for them to sit, talk, share, open, non-judgmental, that they can talk about their fears, their anxieties, plus their joys. And there needs to be mental health check-ins for fathers on a regular basis, because a lot of dads will even say to me, I'm hardly ever asked how I'm doing. And particularly when baby is born, one of the first questions I'll go in with is, how is dad doing? And some of them are taken back a little bit by it, because it's not a question they're normally asked. But there needs to be a space for fathers and mums to grow together, but also I think they need a separate service where dads are just supported. Because the role of dad has changed massively in the last 20 years, and you heard John's story. But the services, in my opinion, haven't caught up to match what dads want to be included, dads want to be involved, they want to be hands-on, is what they're telling me. Well, and I think the services need to catch up with that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Listen, Dave, thanks a million. Aidan, Jason, John, Karen Beckett, psychologist, really appreciate all of your time and hearing your experiences with us here on Lunchtime Live as well. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com, and Professor Shane Higgins, Master of the National Maternity Hospital, will be back with us for Making Babies 12:40 on Wednesday afternoon. So actually, if you've any other questions in this relating to this area or this topic, do get in touch with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.